You're listening to R4NT.com. Today we're lucky enough to be talking to Matt Black from Cold Cut. Matt, who used to be a computer programmer, along with ex-art teacher Jonathan Moore, make up the Cold Cut sound. They first came to light back in the late 80s with their breakthrough remix of Eric B. and Rakim's Paid in Full, which later went on to go silver. They've come a long way since then. Outside of releasing several albums, they've also partaken in countless collaborations, as well as pioneered the now infamous Solid Steel radio show, which continues to air to this day. Lastly, Cold Cut is also responsible for having created the Ninja Tune record label, which now houses such talents as DJ Food, Mr. Scruff, The Koala, Wagon Christ, Bonobo, Funky Porcini, Saul Williams, 6-2, The Herbalizer, and countless others. I first caught wind of Cold Cut back in 97 when they collaborated with DJ Crush and DJ Food in the creation of the now legendary Cold Crush Cuts album. However, their last full-featured set was back in the late 90s with Let Us Replay. I've recently had the opportunity to check out their new album, Sound Mirrors, and it's great to finally hear Cold Cut doing what they do best again. As of January 30th, or February 21st for those here in Canada, their long-anticipated album will finally hit the streets. Anyways, Matt, thank you so much for being able to spend some time with us today. How about we start things off by letting us know a little bit about how the album came together?
Well, it's our first record for 8 years, which seems like quite a long time, but luckily, being independent operators, we don't have to follow the normal kind of sausage machine timetable of the music business, which can sometimes seem a bit like, you know, album tour, greatest hits, die. So John and I have had the luxury of a sort of more organic, slow, sustainable development, and we've spent the last 8 years doing remixes and art installations and software development and websites and radio shows and radio plays and various types of experimentation and meeting and learning and having, you know, human experiences, all of which are fabric, you know, with strands we weave into the fabric to make something new, which, you know, we think we've achieved, you know, a step forward with Sound Mirrors from our previous work, and most of the people we've spoken to seem to think that they get it and that we're on the right track.
Yeah, after listening to the album a few times, I was really taken back by how good it actually sounds. You know, it was a really pleasant surprise to hear the progression you guys have taken since your last release. It's always interesting to see how one can reinvent themselves, especially after such time between your releases. Anyway, speaking of which, you guys recently relaunched the Cold Cut website. It seems like such an artistic piece, and, you know, a lot of design and thought seems to have been put into it. And I was just wondering how it all together, and, you know, how involved you guys were during the process of branding this new look to match a new sound.
Well, it's a long time now since the web first came into existence, and I got interested in it fairly early stage and did actually learn basic HTML and put the first sort of Ninja Tune site together, which is, oh, it's a long time ago now, a good sort of 8, if not 10 years ago. And since then, things have got a lot more complex, so like other things, we've sort of found, you know, other people who are particularly specialised and expert in their field to help us with it. So Cold Cut didn't actually design or write the new site. We worked with a company called Clover, who do a lot of Ninja Tune stuff, and we've had an ongoing relationship with them over the years. We used to share a building with them, actually, in the old days of Ninja Tune. And as for the look and feel of the website, a lot of that has come from the artwork for the album, and it's always good when you can actually have a coherent feel between the different graphic and stylistic elements behind a product. And in this case, Nigel Peak is a young graphic designer who we've worked with for the first time. It's actually his first ever proper commercial job, I think. And we had a certain rough sort of brief, certain things that we wanted when we were looking around for someone to work with. We wanted a new Cold Cut logo, and with, which everyone here went, wow, yeah, we like it. He was actually found for us by Strictly Kev, who's half of DJ Food and who's the guy who's done most of Ninja Tune's graphics over the last 10 years.
Right.
And the website is a sort of dynamic version of the album artwork, and I think Clover have done a really good job in making it as dynamic and interesting and deep and odd as Colcutt like.
Yeah, it's definitely a fun experience to go through the website and check out all the artwork associated to both the site and the new album. You can really see how the brand got represented across both these mediums. While looking through the website, I managed to catch a few of your bi-weekly podcasts, and I can't help but think back to your roots with the Solid Steel radio shows. I'm curious to know your thoughts regarding this new medium, and what sort of influence do all the new technologies such as iTunes, RSS and whatnot present to you and even Ninja Tune in general?
I think it's like most things, it has a good side and a bad side to it. I mean, if people just download podcasts and then don't ever buy any music, that would be a bad thing from the point of view of a record company and a recording artist. But in terms of a sort of promotional medium and opportunity to sort of get more people into what you're doing and distribute what you're doing, I think it's great. I mean, we always sort of pitched ourselves as kind of the alternative and the different way of doing things to the mainstream, and it's true to say that in the past the media have largely been under the control of a few only a handful of sort of lobbies and interest groups and power bases, and the net has been a big step forward in democratizing that. I think it's rather excellently ironic and hilarious that what was invented, the internet invented really as a military installation, has become a great it brings democracy, and it does break the monopoly of the power groups in a lot of important ways. Of course, actually getting yourself noticed on the web, unless you've got the muscle to kind of really promote yourself in ways that are in some ways quite similar and conventional to the ways in which people and corporations have publicized themselves in the past, can be quite difficult. But it is possible to do it with imagination, and it's a bit like when Colcutt made our first record. We made a sort of limited edition artifact, which was only available in a few places, but we knew that in those few places, quite a few of the sort of taste makers and really dedicated people tended to hang out. So there's always a way to get yourself noticed, and in summary, I think that the ability to netcast is a very good thing, and some of the projects we've done over the years, like PirateTV.net, which is a website we started a few years ago to teach people how to do netcasting themselves, dovetail into this quite well. And I think, being able to broadcast your music is a bit like the blog, isn't it? It's a way that people can personally express themselves and their interest, and if they've got enough character and enough energy into that, they can probably get noticed and build up a reputation which may be even useful. I define a star as someone who's managed to negotiate their neuroses into a marketable character. So the web provides a medium by which you can do that, that has broken the monopoly on people's attention, which the conventional media had a stranglehold on before.
That's really interesting that you went into that. I was just about to ask you regarding blogs and online magazines such as our own, and how they affect the new form of mass media, but without the control, so to speak, of Big Brother or the large corporations that filter what we get to hear on a daily basis. But I think you covered that quite well.
Interesting phenomena, though, which I'd call art life. It's the sort of ability to take your life and make it into art and present it as that, maybe. Whether it's music, DJing, podcast, news, comedy, cartoons, painting, whatever,
right.
You can take your life, take your interests, make them into stuff, and use the net to distribute that and see if you can interest people in it.
Right.
And there's a different aspect of it. I think it's quite a revolution, really.
That also brings up an interesting point, the ability to easily share information and creating new things with the potential of said things turning into a new style of art, which brings me to ask you about VJing, in which I've heard a lot about yourself being one of the pioneers of video DJing, and I see that you've actually gone out and created these software packages and whatnot, but if you could perhaps explain a little bit regarding this new art form and where do you think VJing is going here in the future?
Yeah, I mean, video DJing is a perfectly reasonable term for it. It's not one that I've used before, but it actually describes it pretty well. But then so does VJing, or eclectic methods call themselves DVJs. Basically, the idea that making music and spinning music, presenting music to people, can be expanded to making music and images. Really, what we're talking about then is film, which is probably the most sort of powerful, sophisticated art form that humanity has come up with so far, with the possible exception of virtual reality, which is still in its infancy, really. And, you know, a lot of people have experienced the fun and the satisfaction in messing around with music and mixing music. We've taken that as a model and applied that to mixing and manipulating and performing with sound and image. It's easy to sort of spool on, but in this case, I think, you know, a picture with a sound is worth a thousand words. And we've done all along the way is try and make the tools available to people so that they can have a go themselves and see if they think what we're talking about is bollocks, or if they can find something of interest there themselves. So with VJam, which is the software we've developed to actually do this ourselves, that's actually available to the general public now. We've just released a piece of software called VJam 3. It's PC only. But that's at vjam.com, VJAMM.com, and you can download a free demo of it. There'll be a demo of it also on Sound Mirrors, which is sort of putting the other facet of what Colco are interested in, as well as music. We're also interested in tools to make art, including audiovisual composition. And with that, you get a set of clips that enable you to, I call them video breakbeats. And by analogy with the hip-hop DJ's breakbeats. And you can, just all you need is a PC to run it on, and you can get in there and start experimenting with what I call scratch montage. And I think a few seconds of messing around with that will probably give most people the bug for it.
I know we've been on a bit of a stint here talking about technology, but I was also curious to know whether you've ever played with some of these new DJing equipment, such as Final Scratch, where you play with, you know, digital music that interfaces with pre-pressed pieces of vinyl, or even better yet, what are your thoughts regarding, you know, analog versus digital?
Yeah, I'm familiar with Final Scratch. It's not something I actually use because, you know, for me, it's not really any different to my preferred tool of choice for spinning music, which is the scratchable CD players like the Pioneer CDJ 1000. I was in Ibiza a few years ago and, you know, I DJed on those, and when I got back to the UK, I bought a couple, and that's what I've been using ever since. I haven't really touched vinyl for quite a while now because the advantages of digital scratching are pretty humongous. You know, Final Scratch is cool, as I say, but I'm more interested in audio-visual scratching.
Right.
So, basically what these things all represent is something we've been droning on about for a few years, which is taking the techniques which we painstakingly evolved for vinyl manipulation, and as vinyl, you know, inevitably slides further into the past, and I love my vinyl collection as much as anyone else, although I've shaved it down quite a lot, but I'm still looking at racks and racks of my favourite records as I speak to you, and those records, a lot of them I'm not going to get rid of because they have such personal history for me, and at least I want to keep a few thousand in case my son ever gets into vinyl DJing at some point in the future. However, digital technology offers me a lot more possibilities for manipulation and creativity. That's my take on it, and so I've moved more to digital technology, both with the tools we've designed ourselves like VJam, and also things like the Pioneer DVJ X1, which enables you to scratch DVDs, and the custom mixers that we've developed so that you can cut and fade audiovisual material with one crossfade movement. Yeah, I don't get involved in holy wars, not Mac versus PC. not vinyl versus CD. It's individual choice. But if people, as far as my individual choice goes, I'm interested in digital audiovisual technology, and that's what we're developing, that's what we're using, and it's a funky, fresh, fun area, and I reckon that anyone who gives it a go will agree with me on that.
I've really enjoyed watching some of the Ninja Tune videos over the past while, and I hope to see more of that sort of stuff in the near future. Grandel, I'm sure there's nothing like checking out a live show, and I actually hope to get out to the UK sometime this year to come watch and listen to some of the great stuff being played out there.
Where are you calling from?
I'm actually calling from our head office here in Calgary, Alberta.
You know, it's a great advantage of the web that, you know, a few years ago, if you wanted to get certain obscure tracks or, you know, have the latest kit, you had to be living in London or Tokyo or somewhere like that. But actually, you know, with the access to the net, you're in as good a position as I am to keep up with the latest stuff, and I think that's really good.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely cross that divide, because I know when I first got introduced to the Cold Cut sound, it was actually through your collaboration with DJ Crush.
Oh, yes.
With Cold Crush Cuts, which is actually one of my old school favorites. Granted, I guess it's not that old when you consider you started almost 10 years before that was released, but it was definitely one of my favorite albums of the day, and I'm a huge fan of Crush, but having listened to that, I've become a huge fan of yours as well. It's actually been quite the honor to talk with you today.
Oh, appreciate your support, mate. You know, it's been nice talking to a lot of journalists over the last few weeks doing promotion, because generally they're people, almost actually without exception, they're people, they're not just doing a job reporting on the latest flavor of hamburger. They are people who are into the culture. You're into it. You've been following it. You're actual fans and users yourself of these materials and these ideas. And so to get the reactions from you and say, you know, I think I mentioned earlier, to say, yes, we think you're on the right track. Yeah, we dig it. We can see that this is a step forward, and we're still behind you, is a real boost, because, you know, no one really wants to work in isolation just by themselves. We might say, oh, we just do what we do and fuck what anyone else thinks, but I certainly don't think like that. I need support and a bit of appreciation. I think we all do.
For sure. So yeah, that's about it for today. I think we've covered a fair bit of ground, but unless you have anything else you'd like to tell our readers about, or if you perhaps have any plans for any North American tours here in the future.
There'll be an American tour coming up, and North American tour, and you know, North America's one of our key territories, and of course we resisted the temptation to establish a Ninja office in LA or New York. If we had, we'd probably be out of business, but we run Ninja North America from Montreal, and Jeff Way is the guy who runs that, the head ninja out there, and respect to him and all his staff for, you know, fighting the good fight, and Ninja 100% independent Ninja Tune, and it's a struggle, but we love it and we keep on with it, so keep with us.
Thanks for tuning in to r4nt.com.